Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, this morning really concerns me a little bit about some of the things that I'm going to share and to teach. And not only for myself, but for you and for the journey of every man and woman in the faith. I believe many times that we can sometimes downplay spiritual warfare and not even understand it in our own lives. And that's why I'm concerned, because we can kind of step away from just knowing the word of the Lord concerning the enemy's tactics in our life, our own flesh, our own carnality, and begin to move into a place of faith and become self-righteous even in our acts and our ways, where the greatest position for us is in a place of humility if we really want to do spiritual warfare. And when I was speaking about spiritual warfare last time, I was talking about displacement. When we come into agreement of God's truth in His Word concerning anything over our home, our family, our region, we displace the enemy's tactics. He no longer can abide in those places because there's no room for him, because the body of Christ has come into the place of agreement in God's holy Word and the Spirit of truth. And so the enemy no longer can abide in those areas. And I was going to take on some heavy-duty things this morning, and I got really convicted about saying, you know what? Don't take on things that they're not ready for to hear in some areas. Speak to them about their own walk with God, your own walk with God. And how much do we understand spiritual warfare? What we spoke about earlier when we were singing it and proclaiming it, that the beginning of victory in any one of our lives is with Jesus on our lips, the power of Jesus' name. And that the Christ-likeness and the nature of God would be consummated within our hearts. That His nature would be who we are. That's really our greatest form of spiritual warfare, is to become more like Christ. Christ-likeness is powerful in the fact of how we walk and what we do. And so there's some things I'm going to speak about this morning to kind of take you through a little bit of a journey so that you can grab hold of this. And if you're seasoned, if you've been walking in the faith, I've been walking in the faith for a long time, make sure that you pay attention, because sometimes we may miss a few things in our journey. Does anyone in this room know it all? I don't think so. And so God is always trying to sometimes calibrate us back to the place that we need to be so that we can take on the things that are coming against us. I don't want us to just live in defense. I want us to live in offense of moving forward in God's calling and destiny in our life and our purpose. If you ask me the question, what do you want for those that come to Voice Ministries? Well, I could tell you straight up, I don't want to have a big church. I want every individual that comes here to know Christ and have Him so much within their heart that they fulfill the destiny and purpose that God's called them to walk in. That's the reason, to know Him. And you know, it's not just to know Him in a way that you can, you know, move and, yes, we can move mountains, but to know Him in such a way that your entire family desires to know Him also because of how He resides within you. That it brings such conviction. It brings such desire in people's lives and hearts that they go, I got to know Him. I got to know this Jesus. And we hear a lot of the teaching, a lot of the word, but are we really prepared for battle? Do we know, do we understand the victory that we have? Jesus is the only one that brings us into completion. Jesus is the only one that will bring us into our destiny. No man or woman will do that for you, only Jesus. Jesus is the only one. Warfare is not just to eliminate your present distress. Hear me. Warfare is not just to eliminate your present distress that you're going through right now. Warfare is about you becoming like Christ. That's the warfare that we're after. Yes, there's principalities and powers, and they have assignments, and they have rights, legal rights to territory because of what we've given to them. But Christ wants us to be like Him. God wants us to be like Him, like His Son. And that's a huge part of what I want to share today. That's our objective. Our goal is to be like Him and to be in His nature. If our nature does not change, If our nature doesn't, let's say we get a victory in our life. If our nature doesn't change and we desire to walk in truth more or to fellowship with God, if our nature doesn't change, what happens is we go back to the same old mess we were in. And that's why it's so important to get the renewal of our mind and the truth of Jesus within us. I believe that this morning there's some truths that I'm going to share. That's why I'm going to try to stick to my notes, because there's something that God is going to do within you today. And he's going to switch some things. He's going to give you a nugget today, an understanding, a truth today that's going to help you defeat the enemy in your life. I believe that with all my heart. I don't want us to be entangled. What you experienced here this morning also was worshipers. The army of God cannot be an army without being an army of worship. Who are you going to worship? We have to worship the Lord daily in our life. And these worshipers come up here and they war to cause us to enter in and get into that place and to know the authority that we have and who we are in him. Who are you going to worship? You going to worship the beast or are you going to worship God? The end of the age is definitely about darkness and is about light. I mean, all movies and things we see goodness and evil. You know, I think so much of, Fellowship of the Ring. I was thinking of all those series and the battle between goodness and light, goodness and darkness. And God was like speaking to me and probably speaking to you. This battle's been raging forever. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to get this message out to you this morning in Jesus' name, because it's going to help you. So hang in there with me. Satan, and some people don't even believe that he exists anymore, some churches. Satan cannot stand it when you begin to walk in the virtues of Jesus Christ. When you begin to walk in the purity of Christ and become more like him. He is terrified of humility. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll bring healing. It's a scripture that we all know well. But humility is a key to spiritual warfare. Because if you don't humble yourself before the Lord, you're going to always try to get your way in situations. But when you humble yourself before the Lord, you desire his way and not your way any longer. You desire for him to have his way. Men and women, when we kneel down, I believe it does. If he's got hairs on the back of his back, I believe they stand up. Because it's in that humility and that brokenness that we can walk in authority. Every one of you were born with a purpose in this room. My desire is for you to walk in that purpose, and the Lord will stand on your behalf. So when I talk about humility, I'm talking about strongholds, but good strongholds. There's bad strongholds, and there's good strongholds. The stronghold of humility, when you humble yourself before the Lord, you are strong in the ways of God. The stronghold of thankfulness. That's what was happening even this morning. You could tell there was just a spirit of thankfulness in this room when we worshiped. That is a stronghold, a spiritual stronghold. When you look in the Old Testament, it talks about fortified cities that are strongholds. And it protects us. That's what a stronghold is supposed to do. But there's other strongholds. And it's the stronghold of the enemy. When we live in the humility, the stronghold of humility, then we begin to walk in purity. And we begin to become honest about ourselves. Honest about our righteousness. And there is no self-righteousness. Because when we're in a stronghold of the things of the enemy, we become self-righteous and prideful. And God doesn't want that to happen. God wants you and I to wage war against whatever we have accepted in our fleshy, carnal nature today before you leave here. What have you accepted? What have you embraced? What are you allowing to take place within your life that nobody even knows about? The Lord wants to free us so that we can walk in the fullness of what he has. It's a ready avenue of access when we begin to start thinking that we have it all together and we become self-righteous. It's an access for the enemy. And I will not stop proclaiming humility. Humility and brokenness before the Lord. That's what he's asking of us. You know, all the energy, when we talk about different strongholds, when we begin to have a secret sin or something in our life and nobody knows about it, and we got this avenue that the enemy is traveling on within our lives and no one knows, it becomes a stronghold for the enemy in our lives. If you, all that energy takes that it takes for you to hide that or keep it secret from someone or think that you're keeping a secret from God, all that energy is a stronghold that the enemy is trafficking on right now in your life if you have something like that going on. If you do. It could be pornography. It could be a number of things. If you have anything that's hidden, it becomes a stronghold in your life, and the enemy will traffic. It's not only a battle against the enemy, but it's also a battle against our flesh. Jesus will always be our shelter, but our flesh, what's going on in our carnal nature? You know, that's why he says in the scripture that we should be crucified with Christ, no longer us living, but Christ living within us. That we would crucify what? The flesh. Because sometimes we're fighting the enemy, and it's really not the enemy, it's just our carnal nature, it's our fleshy ways, because we were born into sin. Have you ever seen like an animal, like a cat or a dog, they'll get in a mirror and they'll bark at it, or they'll like want to attack it? A bird, I've seen a bird attack mirrors and car mirrors thinking that's, you know, it's an opponent. Well, that, all that bird or that animal is doing is really basically attacking its own reflection. Are we attacking our own reflection of sin in the mirror? These are hard questions. Is there things in us that we're saying the devil's doing this? And you know what? It's not even the devil. It's your flesh that needs to be crucified. Now, will the devil get on board with that flesh? You better believe he will. And he'll start doing everything he can. But sometimes just our fleshy nature, you know, just our sometimes our orneriness just of how we are around people. And we're not kind. And we're thinking we're taking on principalities and powers when we're just really hard to get along with anybody. And God's saying, will you allow your flesh to be crucified today? Will you allow it to happen? Will you be humble? Will you quit being self-righteous? You quit looking at everybody else, what they need to do, and deal with your own flesh encounters that are sinful. This is a hard word. And when I was writing it out and putting it together, I was like, oh, you know, this is going to be tough. But I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Anyway, ask yourself, you know, ask yourself about what you have sown. That's your flesh. What you sow, you're going to reap. But there's hope today, guys. There's hope today that, you know, none of my righteousness is going to get me out of jail. Only the righteousness of Christ. There is no righteousness. My righteousness is what, according to Isaiah? Filthy rags. Nothing but filthy rags. So nothing I'm going to do or try to do, I'm going to get myself out of this. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. 25 through 26. And then, again, I'm going to try to keep you on board with me here. I'm talking a little bit about the flesh right now, and then we're going to be talking more about the strongholds of the enemy here just in a minute. But my whole thing is that you would kind of examine, Lord, search my heart. Examine your heart. Examine where you're at right now, because you need to walk in the freedom and the power and the authority of who you are in Christ. That's what you need to walk in, to do all that he's called you to do and to be. And, you know, in these days, what we're calling good is evil, and what is evil, and what they're calling evil is good. Because this whole society is turning upside down, and darkness is increasing, and light is increasing also. And a great harvest is coming, and I believe God wants to use all of you in that great harvest, in healing and proclaiming the truth of Jesus. But God wants us right now to make sure that we're examining our hearts, knowing where we're at, repenting where we need to repent, and allowing God's righteousness to have its way within us. Does that make sense? So I just don't want any of us to continue down any road that we have that's taken us away from him. Well, I've said this quote many times, and some people have looked at me cross-eyed a little bit on this, because I've said sometimes you have to come in agreement with the enemy. And they're like, what? What are you saying? We come in agreement with the enemy because sometimes the enemy wants you to think that your own righteousness can get you through. Listen to what I'm saying in this scripture in Matthew 5, 25 and 26. It says, agree with thine adversary quickly. This is the King James. While thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge. The judge is God. The adversary is the accuser of the brethren, the enemy. And the judge deliver you to the officer, and you would be cast into prison. I say unto you, though by no means come out until you have paid the last cent or the last penny. That scripture is saying that. It's a strange scripture, but it's saying this to you, and it's saying this to me. Come in agreement. If the enemy says, you do this, you don't even love. I mean, your love is weak. You're this, you're that. You can come in agreement and say, you know what? You're right. It is. But thank God for the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus, I am forgiven and I'm able to walk in the fullness of who I am. Now, the reason I say this is because many of you are probably getting hassled by the enemy right now. The accuser is saying things to you and he's bringing up your past. You know, and if he brings up your past, you say, you're right, I did do that. But thank God for the grace and the love of Jesus because that's no longer a part of who I am. That's what that scripture's saying. It's saying, come in agreement. If he starts saying that stuff about you, yeah, you're right. And I guarantee you, when you come in agreement with him and say, you're right, but thank God to the glory of Jesus Christ because of how he's led me out of that and the power and the authority that I walk in, guess what's going to happen? He will not bring it up anymore to you. He won't. He won't. Because you're no longer contending on your own self-righteousness. You're contending on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? I always had a hard time trying to figure out that scripture going through it. Come in agreement. Yeah, because many times the enemy always sprinkles a little truth when he tries to condemn you and tries to pull you back away from your calling and your destiny. Jesus is speaking to us in that. Not to avoid sometimes when things come our way, but to know that we base our righteousness on him completely and absolutely. We can approach God, and I want you to be able to approach God to know that he is your righteousness. He is your righteousness, and the enemy has nothing in you. Again, it's that thing of agreement. We agree with the word of God and with the power of what God says about us, the accuser. Don't defend yourself to move forward sometimes. Sometimes that self-righteousness that I'm right, you're wrong, don't defend yourself all the time. Take a position of humility and prayer and watch what God can do. Some, you know, well, that's just wrong what they did to me. And you know what? It probably is. But when you position yourself in humility, you position yourself for the power of God to be released on your behalf regarding the individual that might have done something to you and also within your own life. Then you're free. You're free. You're not living under the judgment of other people. You're living in the freedom and the righteousness of Jesus. You were called to be free. You were not called to be bound. You were called to be free in Jesus. How many in this place want to be completely free in Jesus? I mean, I know you do. I know you do. Walking in the authority of what he's called you to. And the enemy's strategies and the enemy's ways is always to nail you about things of your past or to try to creep up on you and distract you away from the truth and the calling that you have. The Lord wants you to be free. Many times when we think of becoming, you know, righteous, we think that, well, I don't want to doubt about anything. I want to believe by faith. Well, sometimes that can build you up so much that now you become more self-righteous than really humble in the place of faith and truth. Now, some of you are going to have a hard time with me saying that, but I'm just telling you, if we don't have love in the midst of what we're doing and walking in, you can have all the faith you want to in the world. But if you're not loving the way Jesus called you to love, you're missing something huge. You're missing something huge. Because I think that if you begin to love the way he's called you to love, man, things are going to increase even more around you and more stewardship that you're going to have with God. I want to see you walking in victory. I want to see you walking in that. A vital key, so if you get anything this morning, if you want to pin it down, a vital key is humility to overcome the enemy. I've come to a place where I've refused sometimes to defend myself. And people are like, what? I refuse to defend myself. Because God defends me. And through time, his truth is going to be revealed in situations. When you begin to defend yourself, you come under the judgment of that individual. Now you're really under their judgment. But when you just turn away a hard thing with a soft answer, and you go to Jesus and you trust him, you know that, man, I've got the King of Glory on my side. I can walk this out. I can do this. Spiritual warfare is real, and it's around us all the time. And that's why I want to awaken us time after time to the battles that's raging around us, and that the key is humility. It's key. All right. This truth also is found in Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to turn there if you can. I'm going to have it on the screen. I usually don't read this much scripture. I mean, during the day I do, but I don't read this much to you. But when I started reading this scripture, I never could stop each verse. I kept going more and more and more. And the reason that I'm reading this is because this is exactly what I'm talking about God's grace and his mercy and his goodness and being humble and being an overcomer. And Jesus showed us that on the cross. So if you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, is it be up on the screen or write this down? This is so powerful. Because I got to ask you the question, is this happening in your life? Do you want it to happen in your life? And if you do, God will do it. He will do it. He will respond to the cry of your heart and the desire for you to change. This morning when I was praying, I went down to the cross. And when I went down there and prayed, I said, Lord, what are you wanting to share with everybody? I'm wanting them to change. And you know what? He said to me first, I want you to change. And I was like, oh. Okay, I want you to change. And we're all in the process of growing, every one of us in this room, and to grow and understand what it means to walk in spiritual warfare. Now listen, you could read, matter of fact, take this, if you want to take this text and just dwell on it, meditate on it all week long. Listen to it. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walked in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluding from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Is your heart hardened today? Has somebody done something to you, or has something happened to you that's caused your heart to be hardened toward God? And if it has, he understands that. But he wants to melt it. He wants you to be embraced. He wants you to be loved. He wants you to allow him to let him in and love you and help you. And they, having become calloused, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self. Lay it aside today. Don't allow it to have its way anymore in you. No more. Wage war against it in the power of Jesus' name. When we said we were proclaiming Jesus, in the power of Jesus' name, wage war against your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed, that you would be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And to put on the new self, which is the likeness, there it is, the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, every falsehood, speak truth with each one of you, with his neighbor. Speak truth. Don't lie anymore. Don't exaggerate anymore. For we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. We can be angry at sin and the things that are going around, but we don't sin because we stay in the place of humility and knowing that Christ is the answer. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil, there's the devil that many people say is no longer around. Don't let the devil have an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. And then verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And this is a biggie. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And then verse 32, last verse, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I've had people say, how can you keep, forgiving that person after what they've said and done to you? And I said, because I think about how much he's forgiven me and what I did and what I went through and how I just kind of many times just spit in his face and said, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to do my own thing. But he took me back every time. That's the life we have to live. There's, this isn't a life about hype. This is a life about being one who is in love with Jesus and knowing the love that Jesus has for us. This Christianity does not work if we allow the enemy to have at us day in and day out with the same old stuff time after time after time after time. It doesn't work. You know what it does? It just creates a whole bunch of frustration. You might be saved, okay? And let me just make this clear, because I don't know how many people believe. But if you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, if you are born again, then you cannot be possessed by a demon, okay? You cannot. If the Spirit is renewed and you're a new creature, you can't be possessed by a demon. But I will tell you this. If you traffic in darkness in some areas and you have a stronghold right now that you're putting attention to and it's having its way, those demons can traffic in those strongholds. And they can live in that place in your mind and control you. And that's truth that you're not going to get at every other place. But they will. They'll continually control you. And they'll get you. I always say a toe hold, foot hold, leg hold. Next thing you know, they got you. And you're consumed with something that has nothing to do with your family, has nothing to do with the Lord, has nothing to do with your calling or destiny. And you're just going through the motions. And on this other side, there's a stronghold. If you have that today, you need to wage war against it today. You need to say no more in Jesus' name. This message is for you. This message is really for all of us. Because at any time, the enemy would like to traffic in an area to control you. It's all about control and manipulation. That's what he wants to do. He wants to have at you. If you meditate on that scripture, that's walking in the Spirit. Satan hates the virtue that you find in Christ. And that whole definition of virtue is living in the place of honor, in the place of integrity and respect and purity. If you have a virtue in the Lord and you really love him and you really care, all of a sudden you've got this amazing courage that comes out of you because you're secure in the place of love. And the enemy hates those that have a virtue in Christ, that live in virtue, which is humble. He hates it because he knows there's power there. And if you think I'm wrong, think about our Jesus. Think about how he displayed his life on earth and how he lived and what he did and how humble. He didn't respond. I mean, he cast out demons. He healed the sick. There's so many things that he did. But the fact is he hung on the cross. He was the most meek ever that was on the face of the planet, Jesus. And he's asking us to respond in the place of humility and love. And that's what I think he's asking of me and you both today. I'm kind of like saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me? I want the best for you. He wants the best for you. And the best is found in the place of humility. It is. It is. He lived the example for you. He set it out there and said, this is how it's done, guys. Come on, gals, let's do this. Does he want you to walk in authority? Absolutely. Does he want you to be courageous? Absolutely. I'm excited that what he wants to happen. Okay. All right. Woo, I got 1 minute. All right. I can do a lot in a minute. My minutes are different from yours. I wanted to, and I probably will go into this a little bit more in depth, but the pulling down of strongholds. Many of us know that scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And many of us, again, don't understand strongholds. Some of us do, and of course the enemy has strongholds over regions, but he has strongholds over you, what I just got through saying. And A stronghold is kind of a fortified dwelling that he can have in your midst. And sometimes even our sympathy toward others protect an area of lie and stronghold in our own lives. Hopefully this will make sense in a little bit. Paul's speaking about basically removing what defends the enemy in your life. Now, listen to that. Removing what defends the enemy in your life. Whatever you're defending, an area in your life that you're allowing the enemy to traffic, is a stronghold. And he's saying, don't allow it anymore. Don't defend it anymore. Don't justify it anymore. Don't agree with it. There's that word, agreement. Don't agree with it anymore. Don't allow it to have its way in you. And we have to pull those down in the authority that we have. The enemy strongholds can also be any thought pattern that you have that's consistent and happens all the time. I can pull just something out. A thought pattern that you just get down on yourself all the time and you degrade yourself all the time and you speak terrible things about who you are. That's a thought pattern. And the enemy will create a stronghold in that thought pattern because he knows if you keep speaking that stuff over your life, he's going to destroy you. But if you start speaking life over your life, you're going to become free and move in what God has. That's a stronghold. Anywhere you traffic thought patterns and you allow them to continually have their way in your life, it becomes a stronghold because the enemy knows, the accuser, the brethren, I got you right there. You've got to come out of agreement with that stuff. I mean, for healing, you got to come out of agreement for that stuff. And you got to start speaking life and speaking truth over you. I can get into a lot of things about that, but that those patterns can be patterns in churches, can be patterns in a community, in a region, because the region has come in agreement with certain thought patterns that principalities and powers have avenues over that region because the church has not rose up in the power of truth and speaking truth and being in the place of divine unity that releases the talons of the enemy away from that region because the church arises in community and unity in Jesus Christ. That's what the enemy hates. He doesn't want that to happen. But when we can begin to agree with God and come in agreement with God's word, there's displacement that begins to happen. Displacement takes place when we use the weapon of his word and truth and the spirit of truth. A stronghold for the enemy is any type, and you've heard this in the scripture, any type of thinking that rises above God. Think about it. Think about our nation. Think about the knowledge that has risen above God. Think about it. All the things that our nation believes now that we know are so far from the spirit of truth and the word of truth. Think about it. Those are massive strongholds all across the land and across the nation. And if there's not a movement of the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God, then we're going to succumb to what we have sown. I believe that. But I also believe that God's got a great harvest that's going to happen and a great light and a great refuge is going to take place in the midst of the body of Christ, and she's going to rise up like she's never rose up before. And it's all of us together. And it's not a denomination. And I believe many people that have been yanking people's change and using them for money for years and years in the church are going to get called into a place of judgment, and they're going to be brought either into a place of humility and brokenness, or their self-righteousness is going to cause them to live the rest of their life in a place of stronghold, pride, and self-righteousness. That's what's going to happen. And they're doing it. They're ripping people off left and right in the name of Jesus, and it's stinking wrong. And the word of God does not do that, doesn't teach us to do that. God wants you free, free from bondage and debt and sin. He wants me free. We are living in a system right now that has an arrow pointed at us to destroy us. And you know what? Most of that system is found in a religious system more than a political system. And the only way we're going to get free is to be lovers of God. The only way we're going to get free is to stand against all these little areas that we've elevated our own thoughts above the thoughts of God and think that we know more than him. Our knowledge, our ways. There's many strategies out there for the body of Christ. There's many great men and women of God arising in the things of the Lord. There's many tools that can be put in the tool pouch to bring healing and to bring forth the salvation and bring the power of the gospel message into the land. Many things that's available to us. But don't you think for one minute that if everybody in this room, including myself, fasted and prayed and pressed in more than we've ever pressed into the power of the Spirit of the living God, and we came in full-blown agreement that every principality and power over Michiana would be displaced because of our agreement in truth. Yes, we're contending. Yes, we're standing. Yes, we're advancing in some areas. But if this is it, we've missed something. There is more. And the truth that I want you to get this morning, that there is more for you. Don't listen to the lie. There is more. There is more. And some of you have went through massive heartaches and loss. And Jesus wants to be everything for you to help you in this hour to stand and to be fortified in the power, be a stronghold of his presence and his truth. Wage war against what's waging war against you right now. And I'm sure it was brought up to you. I'm sure even now you've thought about it. And if you need to ask somebody for forgiveness, call them up on the phone today. And if they respond to you in a negative, nasty way, don't respond back. Respond in the opposite spirit and take the place of humility. And then you lift them up continuously to the Lord. And the Lord creates circumstances to bring them into the kingdom of God. That's the life we're called to live, in a stronghold of the Lord, not putting up with the strongholds of the enemy. I just got to finish up here real quick, okay? A sin habit, any thought habit or a sin habit becomes the dwelling place for a spirit that's robbing you of the power and the joy. And that habit is a stronghold. I wrote that down this morning because I felt some of us are getting robbed of our joy and the power that God wants us to walk in and the love. So any habit that is in you that you know is not of the Lord, it's a stronghold. And he wants to renew your minds with truth. And he wants you to deal with the lies. And he wants you to deal with the carnal thought system that you have that exists within you. And he wants you to know that he loves you and he'll free you. When we walk with Jesus, in those areas, the thinking process begins to change and the enemy is exposed. The power of the Holy Spirit and the word of truth will cause these strongholds to fall. Some of your battles are just your flesh, but some of your battles are strongholds that you've caused to be a habit in your life, and the enemy is trafficking there. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't even give him a little. And the last thing, and I said it already twice, the energy we use to hide a secret sin is what strongholds are made of. And the enemy will use those thoughts and those strongholds to protect you. He can't access the Lord's Holy Spirit can't access you because you're protected in the stronghold of the enemy because you've given way to it. Does that make sense? When you've given way to a habit or something, now you've given access. You've given rights. And those rights have to be broken by you saying no more. That's why we were singing Jesus today. That's why we were singing the songs we were singing today. Because it's only found, victory begins with Jesus on your lips and the consummation of his Christ-likeness within your heart. That's victory. When you become like Christ and you're proclaiming Jesus continuously. That's why I've said so many times, Jesus Christ is the true Son of God and he is my Lord. I say that over and over when I'm in spiritual warfare or whatever. Because I'm proclaiming, this is who he is to me. Get away from me in the name of Jesus. How many of you have just gotten fed up where you just wanted to kind of quit? You got weary because it was just too much work and everything, you know? And the enemy will traffic there and cause you just to say, I can't do this anymore. You know what? I believe I got the ticket of salvation in. But I'm telling you, God doesn't want to leave you there, and that's not the place of joy for you. You were made, you were called to be a warrior of God. You were called to be messengers of the most exciting time in history, a generation that ushers in the return of the conquering King, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what you're called to be and to do. And if it has come to just being singing another worship song or doing another prayer or teaching another thing, you know, those are all good. But God wants your heart ablaze in the purity of what he's called you to be and to do. The army of the Lord is a bunch of pure, wholehearted worshipers and lovers of God. Amen. Amen. I'm just sharing my heart today. You know, I want you to be abundant and prosperous in the things of the Spirit and the Word of God and all that he has for you. But I don't want you to become self-righteous, because without Jesus, we don't have anything. I am nothing. Without his righteousness, I'm filthy rags. And so if there's any puffed up thing in you or puffed up thing that needs to come down, let's just, Michael, come on up. I'm just going to pray. I've got a prayer that I kind of wrote down, and I'm just going to lead us through this. And God wants to prepare you for more battles so you can walk in situations with Christ. If you've walked into areas saying, man, I know how to deal with this stuff, man, I've been around. You know what? Okay, you've been around? Well, he's seen you've been around. And he knows exactly what you did the last time you took on stuff, and he's got another plan that's going to knock you flat on your face when you get puffed up. I got puffed up in spiritual warfare, in deliverance ministry. And I thought I was it. I'll tell you straight up. I thought, man, hey, call Bobby D. He'll get in there. He'll take authority. And I watched some demons flee and some people get delivered and demons manifest right in front of my face and call them down, call down heaven, and people completely delivered. And man, I just thought I had it. I got it going on. And the Lord allowed me to be set up. He loves it. He sets you up. And he set me up, and I walked into a situation thinking I was something, and he showed me that I was not. And it changed me. It broke me. And that's exactly what it should have done. Why don't you stand? And let's just pray. Let's just take a minute and pray, and we'll dismiss you here. I guess the question that I would ask of you, and what do you need to bring to the Lord right now? What do you need to bring to him, to give to him in this moment? And so I'm just going to move through a prayer slowly, and just you be praying in this time, whatever you need to bring to the Lord. And I'm just believing that today truth is going to have its way in your life and in my life and our families and in the days ahead. So here we are. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. We just come before you. Heavenly Father, we bring every area before you. We bring every areas of sin before you. And maybe some areas that we haven't fully surrendered. So we surrender now to you, Jesus. We surrender them to you. Lord Jesus, I ask for you to forgive me of compromise. Forgive us, God. Holy Spirit, come. Bring forth the truth in their hearts and their minds. Speak to them, Jesus. We stand in the place of your truth. And we take authority in your name and have the courage to approach the pulling down of strongholds in our lives that have deceived our hearts. We pull them down now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we say no more. We ask for your truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we bind all satanic influences that were reinforcing compromise and sin within us. We bind them in the name of Jesus. We submit ourselves before you. We ask for the power of the light of the Holy Spirit of truth to expose everything. That we will not exalt any other thought pattern above you, God. And we stand by the mighty weapons of the Spirit of truth and the Word of God. And we say that in Jesus' name, every stronghold is coming down in my life. In Jesus' name, every stronghold is coming down in my life. In Jesus' name, every deception, everything I've exalted above Jesus is coming down. And by the grace of the Lord, by the grace of the Lord, that every man and woman, young and old in this room would only have one stronghold, and that stronghold would be the stronghold of the presence of Jesus within their lives. The stronghold of your presence, God, your love. And so today, as we take authority in who we are in Christ, the righteous of Christ, the righteousness of Christ in us, we thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us and cleansing us. We thank you for the grace that's available to us. And today, this day in March, we commit ourselves to follow after you, to follow through in every area that ruins our joy. And we keep saying yes till every stronghold is removed from our minds. And we thank you, Father. We thank you because you are a good, good Father. We thank you for healing today and the renewal that we have in you. May everyone in this room rise up to be everything that you've called them to be. And may they be lovers of God, walking in the fullness of truth, being kind, being humble, but also being lions with their authority, God. And the authority of a loving lion will come forth in this day. We thank you for it. And we commit this time to you and our lives to you, our families to you, and all the things that are broken. You will bring healing. And you will bring renewal. And you will establish us to be a people without compromise. In Jesus' holy name we pray.